Hello and welcome to The Bits. This is Paulina.
I'm Quinn.
And this is Claire.
And we are back to our regular scheduled programming.
Woo!
We're on a bi-weekly-ish cadence over the summer.
Summer-ish vacation. Yeah.
You know, a summer is crazy and it's busy. So we were doing bi-weekly episodes. But now we are back to bring you weekly episodes. So we're excited to be here and get back into the rhythm of things.
And you know what? Listen, I'm going to put it out there. If we don't get you a weekly episode, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're upset. You let us know.
DM us and hold us accountable.
Hold us accountable.
So we typically keep things pretty light and fun here on the pod, but sometimes the world isn't very light and fun. Sometimes the world is actually pretty cruel and exceedingly tragic. And it didn't feel right for us to jump back into things on our little sports podcast here without acknowledging the devastating loss to the sports world the other week. I'm, of course, referring to the deaths of both Johnny Gaudreau and his younger brother, Matthew Gaudreau. And I'm not going to get into all the details around what happened, because by now I'm sure you have all heard all the details, and so we're not going to get into all of that again. But we wanted to just acknowledge, Johnny Gaudreau, who they're both hockey players. Mm-hmm. Johnny Gaudreau, of course, having a very successful career in the NHL, and also a very beloved player here in Alberta, and in particular in Calgary, where he was a star player for the Flames for much of his career before he moved on to Columbus. So this news really kind of hit everyone pretty hard over the past couple weeks. And it's been a pretty tough thing to process, but we've seen a lot of touching tributes, and there's a shrine at the Dome in Calgary dedicated to Johnny Gaudreau that people have been visiting and, putting out their number 13 jerseys, which has been, a really nice thing to see in light of all the tragedy. But, just wanted to kind of acknowledge how tough that's been for the hockey community, and especially for fans here in Alberta, but fans in Calgary. I did want to also quickly mention Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau's uncle released a statement very recently saying something along the lines of the family is obviously, they're grieving, but they see every comment, they see every tribute, they see every jersey laid on the stairs, on the steps at the Dome. And just this outpouring of support for the family, and an outpouring of support for someone that you don't really know, but also clearly had a big impact on your life. So that it's nice that the family has, sees that and finds some comfort in that. His uncle said, the fans and everyone who has said something like their family as well. And they've been very appreciative of that. So, yeah, awful news in hockey and in sports in general. But we
just hope everybody is starting to heal and can find ways to heal as best they can in
a situation like this. And again, like, circumstances around it are just absolutely like crushing,
soul crushing.
So yeah, we just that. Fans find a way to support each other, and there's so much community in sport, honestly, and we've seen that. But yeah, rest easy, Johnny Hockey, and his younger brother Matthew. So we are talking about some top of mind sports news, mm-hmm. especially with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, local hockey news.
Big news with the Edmonton Oilers that we can get into. And then we'll get into some football, some NFL stuff as well.
Liz, I'm going to force us to talk about the CFL too. Listen.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
We have resident biggest CFL fan.
Not even close, but yeah.
No, I Quinn CFL. Might be the biggest CFL fan that I know.
That you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm just a CFL pusher.
Right. Yeah. I will clarify that I know one fan, and it's Quinn.
Hey, listen, I've been to a Grey Cup or two, and so I can appreciate the heart and soul that goes into being a CFL fan. It is an aging demographic.
They got to get younger.
They got to get younger. But nonetheless, maybe that's where we start, because there's a big game coming up, big couple games for the Elks. And we thought they were going to be down and out. There was a lot of hope at the beginning of the year. And then all of a sudden, things are turning around. And by the time you hear this, we might actually be in playoff contention.
Which is hilarious, because
that's kind of the CFL though.
I will give you my one CFL buy-in here. I accidentally, as you all know who have been listening to us regularly, and as you two know, I'm pretty new to betting. I got into betting this past winter when we had Dustin Nielsen from Edmonton Sports Talk on our podcast. And he was talking about betting and kind of betting 101. And so I got into it. And then I was betting on
pretty deep too.
I'm a responsible bettor. Yeah. I am dedicated to not replenishing my monopoly
original
money.
Buy-in.
Yeah. I just keep it where it is, and I keep betting low.
Calling
stakes.
It monopoly money is a concern, but
I haven't zeroed out, and I haven't added more money in, okay? So I just keep making I keep making low stakes bets to kind of keep building it back up. So I was betting on hockey. I was betting a little bit on baseball. Baseball, surprisingly, to know nothing about baseball, I can still kind of make some money there. And then I was like, you know what? CFL's in. Like, why not bet on some CFL games? I got a hot tip that the Elks would win an upcoming game. And I was like, okay, I'm going to bet on them because they are obviously not favored because they were doing terrible. No, it wasn't from Quinn. They were obviously not really favored, so I could win a little bit of money. And I accidentally, through the app that I was on, bet that they were going to win the Grey Cup. And this is, by the way, after they have lost. At this point, they had lost every game that they had played so far. And by the way, they lost a game that I was going to bet on.
Yeah.
They did lose a game that I was going to
bet on. I know which. So it was probably the one against Ottawa.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was probably against Ottawa at home because they were very probably favored. And
somewhat more favored than they had been previously. Yeah. So if they do win the Grey Cup,
50-1. You're 50-1.
I think
I
might get like $50. But to me, that is like, considering I bet $1.
I don't think you can bet lower than that. When you're talking low stakes, you mean it.
Yeah, I just bet a dollar here and there.
A dollar.
Yeah, and then sometimes you up.
You know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not an irresponsible. I'm a conservative bettor.
Yeah, I wish I was a little more conservative during the Oilers playoff run, Stanley Cup run, because
You went through it.
I had a lot of emotional bets. That didn't pan out.
Yeah. That is the thing. Don't bet emotionally.
Yeah.
That will get you good.
Listen, I know you guys hate it, but the happiness hedge, when you bet against your team...
No.
So that if your team wins, whatever, you lost the money. But if your team loses, at least you got some money.
No, I don't like it.
Okay, let's just tie a bow on the Elks, though, because I would like to just wrap that up. So they play Calgary in the Labor Day rematch. They have won 4 of their last 5. They are tied with 8 points with Calgary. So this would vault them into 4th in the division. And they're favored to win this one. They absolutely destroyed Calgary in at like in the Labor Day Classic, which like I have like a little bit of beef with because I used to take the bus. 6:30 Ched would have a bus that would go to Calgary. So you'd leave at like 9 in the morning, drive to Calgary, start drinking mimosas on the bus, go to the game. The Elks would always lose. And then it's just like a quiet ride home from Calgary after you've been also like, I mean, not everybody, me, it's me. I'm a yappy one when I'm in enemy territory. So I've now been chirping multiple Stamps fans who deserve it anyways. And then I had to quietly sneak out of there. The Elks could go on quite a run here because they're one of the hottest teams. I mean, Montreal is the absolute class of the league. They're 10-1.
Okay, I was wondering who the favorites are. I feel like it's often the Alouettes.
No, not it hasn't been for years. Okay. It was like in the early 2000s, the Elks or the EE football team and the Alouettes faced off numerous times in the Grey Cup. Montreal won last year, kind of upset, like it was a bit of an upset in that one. And then now they've just come back this year and they're absolutely elite. So it's pretty impressive. So it's been a number of years since Montreal has been really good, but they are back, baby.
Well, you know, I do love an underdog story, even if I don't follow CFL as closely. I you know, I'm diehard for the NFL, but I do love an underdog story, especially if it's a hometown team.
We love a streak and
we do love a streak in this
city. I think that might be what's happening.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What is with Edmonton and streaks?
I don't know. What this is our streaky year, I guess.
Yeah, just completely inconsistent, I guess. Hey.
Yeah. Or just, you know, slow to wake up and get going.
Right.
But things are starting to click, so that's exciting. Should be a great game this weekend and hopefully a better end to the season. And actually, I've been to a couple, like I mentioned, Grey Cups. My dad is a big CFL fan. Always had season tickets. Definitely saw you at games there, Quinn. But
I don't remember.
Of course. Too many mimosas.
That's what they serve there.
Yeah.
But I do want to just shout out the spirit of Edmonton because at the Grey Cup, they are known for having the best party, hosting the best party. It's all about community and CFL with the fans.
What is spirit of Edmonton?
Spirit of Edmonton is kind of like the hosted team party.
Okay, well that I would go to.
Yeah, and it is like I said, it's super focused on community. I know they're in really hard this year for sponsorship, so it's actually at risk of not happening, and they have been around for decades.
And it is the party to be at. Everybody loves Spirit
of
Edmonton
really fun.
At the Grey Cup. They have this Spirit of Edmonton breakfast, which is like absolutely legendary, where it's a breakfast where people, and they have this like sloosh juice that is just, it's diabolical.
It's
like
basically
it does
the same
not
as
keep
the
anybody
Open.
On their feet.
What's that deuce drink in at the US Open for tennis? The Grey Goose.
Isn't that with the melon?
Yes.
Inside? Yeah, I've been curious about that.
Okay, well.
Did you have to, you really had to roll tennis into this?
I know.
I how I feel.
It's Quinn's favorite
Footnote, Quinn hates tennis, if you've listened to some recent
We're
episodes.
Not totally sure why. I mean, I think that is kind of like an interesting take for an water poloist.
I think if you remember from our Olympics episode, Claire, water polo is hardcore and tennis is for boring people.
Well, okay.
Elitist snobs.
Yeah. And water polo could never be like that because water polo is dangerous and violent.
Okay. Anyway, they got their drinks figured out because at the US Open, they are serving a Honey Deuce Grey Goose drink. It is a spiked lemonade with balls of honeydew melon to look
like tennis
balls.
To make sure that people have fun because
honestly,
it's tennis.
That sounds lovely.
Okay, I haven't seen any famous people other than Flava Flav at water polo games, but I see a lot of famous people at tennis
because they're rich.
Quinn is going to flip me over this table.
I have no skin in this game, but I don't disagree that tennis is for the rich people and maybe a little more boring compared to water polo. But I would absolutely fuck up a honey deuce goose. Deuce.
I would fuck a deuce goose.
I would like to clarify, there will be no fucking of any gooses on this podcast. Geese?
Okay, so what's crazy, though, is I'm sure people have already heard about this, but the honey deuce sales cover all of the prize money. That's how much they're selling these drinks for. And not only are they covering it this year, but they're like covering it and some.
Because people are so bored, they have to drink.
Okay. Listen, I drink a lot at Oilers games, and I am not bored.
Well, no, you could never be.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I'm saying it's the...
Dead sober.
I like tennis. Just going to say it. I like tennis. And did you hear about this past week, this billionaire tennis player that is making her first major at like 30 years old?
Oh.
There's but a couple
the child of a billionaire family, right? So listen. Listen, that's no. I'm actually going to say something positive. Woo. I know that you're getting up, that you're, yes.
We're bracing for negativity.
Yeah, okay, whatever, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. But I will say I can always appreciate like a work ethic like that and a care. Like you don't need to be on the ATP tour and make money because your family makes money, you know? Like, and so to... And especially coming from a family like that, I mean, some of them, of course, are going to ensure that their kids have an incredible work ethic. But there's a lot of times that kids just kind of fall into things, right, mm-hmm. In those families. So I'll give that tennis player props, but she's probably boring.
Okay, but it's actually crazy because you love golf.
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. And there's like some personalities there, but there's not great personalities, but I also just like
that. It's also rich and elitist.
No. It 100% is. Okay. Golf is just racketless tennis.
Same ball.
Yeah.
Different tool to get it down the court. Don't react. If you could see, this is why we need to live stream.
We should have a ranking of, I'm gonna rank... Not here right now, but somewhere for the public. Most corporate sports, top 10 most corporate sports.
And okay, yeah.
You know tennis is number one.
No, golf might be number one.
Oh, sorry, I meant golf. Yeah. I actually meant golf.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant
tennis,
yeah.
Is number two.
Racketless
after golf.
Tennis. It's
no
number
chance.
One.
100%. Golf is number one. Listen.
You, were, yeah. You love you golf, said golf too. Number one. You're big into golf.
I love golf. Of course, I love to play golf. I actually like to play tennis. Mine comes from, I told you guys, interviewing tennis players who were complete duds and then only continuing to watch tennis players be duds.
Well, we don't have tennis players like they have at these big major tournaments.
Yeah, but I talked to Denis Shapovalov, and that was when he was at his peak. Mm. He was horrible.
I mean, okay, moving on.
You know who seems like a real character? Jack Nichols. Wait, what's his name?
Nicholson?
No, Jack Nicholson is an actor. Who's the golf player that has a similar name? He's like an old white
Jack
guy.
Jack Nicklaus?
Jack Nicklaus.
Nailed it.
We're not going
no,
down that road.
It's also like not even at all current.
I don't know anything about golf.
Oh, no. That's
clear.
That's very clear.
Okay, but going back to this tennis player, I just, yeah, like you said, there's something to be said for that drive. And it just took, I took notice because she is going to play for the U.S. Open title at age 30. It's her first major final. She's had major, don't quote me on this, I think major hip surgery, major knee surgery. And like, if you don't have to. If you didn't have to work, would you?
Hey.
And I just, not only that,
underdog.
But she's 30. And like in tennis years, that's super old.
Tennis
like,
years.
Like you're.
Well, sports years. Like,
well, no,
but,
especially tennis. Like, I mean, there are some older athletes, no doubt. But like they're not making their first title at 30.
She
they're
could
looking,
try golf.
They're looking
if
to.
If this doesn't work out. She could enter as a senior, a geriatric athlete.
Speaking of not having to work but still working, we got to dive in on Lauren Kyle. the wife of Connor McDavid, who obviously strategically thought about it, but she posted a job.
Quinn is fired up about
this. I could not stop laughing. I'm not going to lie. She posted a job for an assistant, which is great. I feel like, do you have to put it on social media? Like, is that the play? Can like your just... friend Liv, Olivia at KyleandCo.ca.
Where else?
She's going to get 32,000 resumes.
Back it up. Quinn, where did she post this? Where did you see this?
It was on social media.
It wasn't on Indeed. Like, you saw this on an Instagram story.
Yeah,
I think that's an important piece of the story.
Sorry, my apologies. It was on an Instagram story in which she has 30,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's fine. It's fine if you want to do that. But the absolute insanity of the resumes that she is going to get.
Paulina, did you apply?
Like, I don't even know how you go through those resumes. Like, it just feels like it's like you got to have some networks. Like, you got to know some people. Like, there's no way you had to do this. Like, I just think, like, I just burst out laughing because I'm like, the number of resumes that are going to come in because people want to work inside Connor McDavid's home
or even just want to interview in Connor McDavid's home.
It feels like a very Edmonton way to go about this. Am I wrong at that? Like, in Toronto, this isn't happening.
No, nobody's responding to her Instagram story, right?
Oh, for sure they are.
In Toronto?
Think so? I think so.
Maybe the odd one, but it's certainly not to the level that it's going to be. I'm telling you, Liv, Olivia, I'm sorry. We love you, Liv, by the way.
We are always looking out for you, Liv. We are Team Liv.
We are Team Liv for life. Congrats on the relationship with Mark McMorris. We're very happy for you.
I mean, this is...
You're going to get 32,000 resumes. 32,000.
That exact number. This is very Edmonton. I mean, they may as well just put up like a little bulletin at the Columbian and Glenora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that is, it's just our small town local coffee shop.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Maybe she could pop an ad in Coffee News.
Interested in booking travel and late nights and weekends and...
But must have, and I love, like, obviously, like, a high degree of confidentiality because, obviously, you can't know where Connor and Lauren are traveling all the time. Like, you can't tell people that. It is just such a high, like, in Edmonton, don't get me wrong, in Edmonton, nowhere else, it is such a high-profile job.
Yeah.
Considering the love of Connor McDavid, like I just...
That's a good point.
I need to see that inbox. I need to see the resumes.
And the interview process.
And the interview process.
I have a question. Why isn't this televised?
Yes. Is there a...
Why isn't there a TLC?
Oh my God.
Is there a Vogue that could sponsor
this? Vogue Kazakhstan has got... to get on board and sponsor this. And
they're
want a 10-page spread in Vogue Kazakhstan.
They're not going to get regular Vogue. Australia already got their wedding. But one of the Vogues.
Kazakhstan's open.
On it.
Kazakhstan for sure has a Vogue. And they're on this.
Yes.
I sure hope so because I need more.
It's the only one that bites.
Like, that's the thing. I just wanted to, like, I just.
I'd watch that show.
I need more. I just need to know more. And then, like, once she's hired, we know it's a she. Let's be real. I need photos of her.
I need to
see who this person is.
I think she needs to be aesthetic. She needs to be old money.
Old money.
Or a gay man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could see a gay man.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, that
or Paulina,
sure.
Which is both a gay man and a gay woman.
That's true. I am actually both of those things in one. However, I would be a terrible assistant. So, but I would like to apply.
You would be very fun
to make it to a certain point, as I always wanted to. Similarly to how I always wanted to apply to be on The Bachelor, having zero interest in The Bachelor himself, but wanting to be like a plant that. Makes it to a certain level.
I do think that this is your calling.
Okay.
You don't have any specific interest in Connor McDavid. You don't have an agenda. You specifically want to find out what Lauren Kyle is up to. And you could document as much of this as possible. So why you haven't sent in your resume, I'm not sure. Mm. It is literally a checklist for your skill set.
Until I find out that this is televised, I will not be submitting a resume. Well, something to consider.
Something to absolutely consider.
But anyway,
consider,
in case anyone who's listening didn't know, Lauren Kyle is hiring an assistant. So if that is something.
Send your resume to Olivia. Olivia at kyleandco.ca.
Oh, is it? I was going to say like live.sos.freelive.
Yeah,
free
link
live
twice.
At kyleandco.ca.
If you're looking for the posting, we're not sure where to find it because it was on an expiring Instagram.
You had 24
story.
Hours to see that baby. Yeah.
But interesting segue, because we did want to talk about the dry contract, which is massive. But one thing that stood out from us, because we know we've heard all about it and we will touch on some of it. But let's talk about Drysdale's partner.
Celeste Desjardins, the sweet angel.
Yeah.
That is Celeste.
We love
her. Listen, I also want to like major nod. I happened one Saturday night, turned on the TV. It was on City TV. Don't know why. Don't watch that channel very often.
I didn't know.
There was Celeste on a movie. And she was, I mean, not a complex character. She did a great job though.
Nice.
She's a good little actress.
Yeah.
Celeste Desjardins.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How many shots?
Honestly, when one couple can both get zero
spoon
shots.
Or pass.
Yeah. Spoon.
Spoon for sure.
Spoon.
Big Celeste spoon. Is like spoon. The hottest one.
She is a stunner.
Okay. That's not where we were going with this.
Totally. We're not
going to
actually talk
and
about
sorry,
the
that's
looks.
The lesbian side of me coming out. Not the actually, it is also the gay man of me
it
coming out.
It might actually be why you can't get that job now.
It's definitely
Celeste
why.
Celeste is the issue. Yeah. It's not Lauren and
Connor. Stop hitting on the hockey
stop
wives.
Hitting on everyone.
Yeah. Lauren forgot that part in the description, the job description. Can also not hit on Celeste.
I'm out.
But no, so she posted on social media after Drysdale signed the biggest contract in history, NHL history, just kind of talking a little bit about his drive and what it means for her and them to be in Edmonton for this length of time. And Quinn sent us a message saying, you know, what's really cool is like thinking about the impact this has on the partner. We don't always look at it from that point of view. And she's totally right, because when you're at an elite level like this and you get those kind of long contracts, what a difference that makes to your life. And so to be able to have a partner that supports you in Edmonton, of all places, where most people don't really want to be outside of the hockey organizations as far as players go because of our weather. And
yeah, it's not like the sexiest city,
no.
Let's be honest.
We know
that. We
well,
live
like
here.
LA's in the mix. Yeah,
of course. We're it's Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Calgary. We know what we are and we get it. So yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about that post you saw and what it meant to you?
Well, yeah, I thought it was very sweet because for starters, like she just talked about, you know, how they've built such a great community in Edmonton. And so it's nice to see people because I you know, as Edmontonians, we take it hard. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like we're always
sure.
Like we struggle with pride of place because we do feel like people don't want to be here. That's changing. The tide is certainly changing. I mean, and like the fact that Leon posted immediately and said loyal to the oil, mm-hmm. like that's just the greatest thing in the world.
You know what I loved,
you know,
was Oiler for
common.
Life.
Yeah, and
yeah,
and
that
he
was cool.
He had an interview with Bob Stauffer, and it was a very genuine expression of affection for the city and for the fans. Of course, like we can talk about the city and how it's not the most, you know, exciting or maybe appealing place to people who.
When you have
options.
All of North America, yeah.
However, we do have a fan base that is, that most other fan, like teams can be jealous
yeah,
of.
Yeah, we're a hockey
100%.
Town.
And he expressed that as well. And he just said, there's no place better to play. And he really it sounds like he really means it. Like, yeah, he just signed this big contract. I get that. But it's 8 years. That's a significant.
He's not doing that if he doesn't mean
no,
that.
No. And the fact that Celeste put that out there, it felt like she really appreciates the city as well. Mm-hmm. They don't have these conversations or make these decisions without considering, you know, the partner. And
I should hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Some players don't get that choice,
but
she doesn't need
to express that on social media. She has no need really to like or reason to express like her love of the city and them wanting to like build their future there, right? But I also want to note, like, do you honestly, as a player, and there is ego that comes along with that, if you are an elite athlete, a star athlete, do you want to play in the cooler city where you can walk down the street and nobody's really like, except, like, you know,
nobody knows who you are.
Nobody really knows who you are. Let's be honest. Like, if Drysdale could go a lot of places in LA and people probably wouldn't turn their head. But in Edmonton, he is a star. And do you think that factors into like, into their decision making process at all?
That's a good question.
To be honest, though, I also think that makes that hard, right? Like, it would be hard to not be able to go places and have any form of anonymity, right?
Oh, totally. It goes both ways.
You know, like going out to the bar, going to a restaurant, like people are going to say hi. I know a lot of people in Edmonton do really try hard to just play it cool. Not everybody does it, though.
Not everybody, but there's been times where I've been at like Cactus Club or wherever, and some of the Oilers are sitting and hanging out and like eating and having drinks or whatever, and no one bothers them,
which is great.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think it's personality for sure. But what I love about it is like all the things that you're saying is it is a choice. I think that we're in like a new era of Draisaitl too. He's like always been hard on his sleeve, but he's way more vulnerable since this past season. Like he's showing us a bit more of himself, and he's kind of like this quiet leader. And I get the sense that even, you know, in his time in Germany, he's very well loved there. He was likely a leader there too, and I think that he's got this sense of home here. At least that's what he's articulating, and that's exciting. And it kind of sets the stage for like big legacy. Like a contract like this is like he is a franchise player. Yeah. And to me, immediately, like, can't help but think what this.
Oh, it locks in Connor. It locks in.
Yeah. Connor. And it's like it's Gretzky and Messier. Is that what's
going to. Without Peter Pocklington.
It's so exciting. And like, even though there's been some other bumps along the way in this off season. It's really, really exciting. I'm curious what this means for the salary cap when it comes to Connor. Like, what are we going to have to do to keep both of these guys and what that impact is? But very, very exciting for
the salary cap is going to go up, and they're like talking about it going up substantially, like up to 100 million. And so like, they're talking about the fact that like those two might just be 25, 30 million. So then you've got 70 million.
Right.
And if you can't build a team around them for $70 million,
then that's on you.
So like that's encouraging for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well,
but
huge news, because locking in Draisaitl, as you said, it does kind of lock in Connor, because one of them said, I think it was Connor, said about the other, like, that's their ride or die.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
And he was in the wedding party. Okay.
And I think, so this has
big implications.
People are excited for multiple reasons.
So also it means like we're not going to suck for a while. And that's exciting.
Well, hopefully. Because we have sucked with them before. But,
no, but
it's
different
now. It's different now.
It's different. Like,
and
we could have,
play
we
with
could
them.
Suck. We might not win games, but there will be magic on the ice no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
So do you think some people in the comments mentioned like we overpaid for Dry?
No,
just quick comment.
Absolutely
on that.
Not.
Shut up.
Okay, got it. That's what I figured. I just wanted to.
We need to move on because we have a very big week with the NFL kicking off, and we have to talk about it. So really quick, I'd love to capture your thoughts on storylines and big game matchups, and I want to know, before you're considered a bandwagon fan later in the season, who do you think is going to be at the Super Bowl this year?
Okay.
So we can rewind and pull this back up for when you're like,
yeah, we
got to
do it.
Bandwagon.
This didn't age well.
Fine with me.
I'll go first if I have to.
Go nuts.
First of all, I'd like to say that I hope every single woman playing fantasy football tried to pick up Harrison Butker.
Oh, so that they could own Harrison Butker.
Yeah, specifically gay women. That would have been like, I tried and another
and
guy just like
children.
Grabbed it immediately. But yeah, like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But honestly, I hope you got him if you're a woman. And if you're a man and you have him, you should trade him to a woman because that's funny.
Because we like a woman owning a man like Harrison.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Another storyline, I think, like, excited to see Taylor Swift back in the game. Maybe she'll have some halftime show rumors this year.
She looked good.
She sure did.
I'm not going to lie. Like, normally I'm not a Taylor Swift, like, oh, she's so hot. She looked really good at the Chiefs.
They've got swagger, man.
They're really good at the Chiefs Ravens game. I was like, damn.
Yeah, they're good.
That denim on denim little number. Not mad.
Sure, what's going on with Kelsey's look, but they love each other, and you can tell they're happy.
As far as we know, this is not a PR relationship, but we can get into that another day.
You know what? Really good to see the president of the KC Chiefs coming out and talking about
not leveraging that relationship.
Taylor Swift's authenticity and kind of like without directly saying anything to the haters that are devout, like NFLers that say, get her out of here. He's saying she's good for the sport. She's a true fan. Let her be a true fan,
yeah,
just
also,
like everybody
shut
else.
Shut up and like,
and just shut
and
up.
Get a life and get angry about something else. Like, mm-hmm. This is not that deep. It's not. It's very unserious.
So I touched on the very icing level storylines,
yeah.
Ladies. Do you have any?
I mean, obviously Travis
to
and Taylor. I like to see what Taylor shows up wearing. Oh, a big storyline for me personally.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. So one of the most devastating things to happen in sports.
As a Packers fan.
To deodorant sales.
Not even.
The game one injury.
Yeah. After like for a team, and the Jets sucked for so long. And then they got Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. And then they signed Aaron Rodgers and was like, you know what? And they have an incredible defense.
This is
so
their year.
Like, finally, it's their year. This is going to happen. I honestly, an early prediction I would have made last year was that Jets were going to make it to the Super Bowl. And then third play or something of game one of the season, Aaron Rodgers goes down with a season-ending injury. That was devastating. Mm-hmm. And not just as a...
And kind of like comical. In how devastating it was.
It was just like, that is absurd. How did that happen? So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is ever going to be like the Aaron Rodgers he once was. And also like coming off of an Achilles injury. But if you don't think I have eyes on all the Jets games, because I'm just excited about the Jets in general. I love Breece Hall. Loved mm-hmm. to watch him.
He was my first pick.
Yeah, very fair first pick in fantasy football. I love to watch Breece. I am a Packers fan, so I grew up with Aaron Rodgers being like the guy. So he's fucking weird, but he is my weirdo, and I am watching him, and I am all in on the Jets. I want to see what happens. I'm excited for them to do well, and I hope they do well.
Cool.
I'm keeping an eye on the, and it's hard for me to say, but in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. Hard not to kind of, like, again, a Packers fan, same division. I get it. It's not great for me to say. It's hard not to like them because of Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. And I love the storyline of Dan Campbell. Like, just the way he carries himself, how he talks.
Who's Dan Campbell?
Oh, he is the coach of the Detroit Lions. Sorry. I was like, Claire's mouthing something at me. Just as a coach, I think he's done obviously such a good job with this team that, like, you know, for like hasn't even made the playoffs. They got, you know, a little crushed by the Niners. It was the Niners, right? Last year in the playoffs. Yeah. But so I'm keeping a close eye on them. And because I also just really like Dan Campbell. Like, like I just like kind of like want to watch him.
They made some moves too in the offseason. Like they have a team.
So I'm glad you brought up Detroit because low key, actually pretty big. I really like Detroit. And if I'm going to make my early Super Bowl prediction, it is both out of, you know, some expectation because of the team that they have. Amon-Ra St. Brown, come on.
Yeah.
Laporta, best tight end in the league. Sorry, Travis Kelce. I think Laporta might might be the new guy.
Okay.
And Goff, you know, I would love to see Goff finally get a make it to the Super Bowl and get the ring. So out of hope and expectation and just liking the team and Dan Campbell, of course, I'm going to say Super Bowl prediction is it's going to be Detroit or Kansas.
Okay. You know what? I think for fun, we should say Jets, Lions, stretch goal. But I do.
I like that as like a dream scenario.
Yeah.
Let's dream up a fun
let's
one.
Let's hope for that and cheer for that.
The only one I would like is Buffalo, Detroit.
Okay.
Like a Bills, Lions.
It's not going to be Buffalo.
It's not going to be Buffalo. No. And that division just got harder, right? Because the Jets are going to be better.
I'm afraid to say that I think, and I'm sorry, I think we are in this 49ers-Chiefs era.
Oh.
And that is very likely to happen again.
Yeah, and Detroit, I mean, sorry, and 49ers may very well finally get it done. And so they're up there.
It's just so boring.
It's boring to me. I don't
dynasties.
Really,
don't do it for me unless it's your own team.
I think Kansas City is exciting.
I think they're going to get there.
I think if they get the third, it's a historic thing. If they win a Super Bowl for the third time in a row, that's never been done before. So I like a historic, like a history making.
Me too.
Event. But I just don't care about the 49ers.
Me neither.
At all.
And I don't want to see them play against each other again.
So,
I can't find love for Kyle Shanahan either.
Gotcha.
Okay, I have one question.
Yeah.
Who do we hate? Like, who are we telling? Like, you don't watch a lot of NFL. Like, just like
team or player?
Anything. Anything to do with for me, it's the Pepsi commercial. It's the Gladiator Pepsi commercial. We're not getting behind that.
I'm behind it. I love Meg Thee Stallion.
We're not getting behind it.
What did you say you want?
I would like her to crush my head between her thighs.
I like that for you.
Just crush it into oblivion.
Just like a tin can. Just like a Pepsi can.
Yeah. It's not sexual. It's something else.
And then also like my other is like, girls, if you're with a guy or guys, if you're with a girl that are a Colts fan,
ugh,
a Jaguars fan, I won't say that about the Browns.
No.
A Commanders fan, you got to start asking some questions.
Oh my God, this.
You got to start asking some questions.
How dare you bring this up at the like final moments of our podcast? Because we could do a whole segment about what your favorite team says about you.
Yeah, and maybe we still do that.
That sounds like.
But let's just put it on the radar. Like, don't, like, it's over. The relationship's over.
I'll tell you who I hate. As a team, I hate the Denver Broncos. I have never known a more unenchanting team than the Denver Broncos. You want to talk about, girl, ladies, if your man is a fan of the Broncos, that is the most boring man on the planet. I can tell you right now.
That's so sad because there's actually an Edmonton connection to the Broncos.
The owner, the former owner, was from Edmonton. Well, I went to high school with his nephew.
And how boring was he? On a scale from 1 to 10.
Not
on a scale from 1 to the Denver Broncos, how boring was he?
Billy, I'm not answering that question, okay?
I also would like to note that I really don't like Russell Wilson, and I think it's time for him to retire.
Ooh.
Mr. Unlimited, I'm done with your bullshit.
He's limited.
He's Mr. Limited now. He's the cheesiest man on the field.
Him and Sierra are weird.
I meant like he's the cheesiest man like in football.
I don't like the Falcons. I don't like the Falcons, and I don't like Kirk Cousins. I can appreciate him as like a deer, but like
the Falcons, I forget about all the
exactly.
time. Yeah, always forget about.
I don't like the Seahawks, but like I understand the appeal of being a like I get that. Like it's just like for me, it's like how do you like the Jacksonville Jaguars? Like, what in your life? And then it's even, like, honestly, the Carolina Panthers, unfortunately, but now Chuba Hubbard plays for them. So it's like I kind of
like Chuba. I've drafted him in some leagues.
Listen, Trevor Lawrence and his flow.
I was
that's
all
why
in,
I like the Jacksonville
I was all in on Trevor. But, you know, the hype, sometimes you need to not put all of your eggs in one rookie basket. And I put all my eggs in one rookie basket 1 year, and that was all in on Trevor.
Yeah, they're unenchanting.
I'm excited. Football is here. We're not going to talk about exclusively fantasy, but we are going to try and give you little bits to walk away each week regarding football. Yeah. So you can be in the conversation. You can feel confident in those conversations. Here we go. Looking forward to it.
Giddy up, baby.
Giddy up.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a wrap. And we will
see you on another time.
And by another time next week. Thank you for listening to The Bits. You can follow us at The Bits Yeg on Instagram and subscribe. Tell your friends. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.